Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Damn, Tyler.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, Ocho's trying to backtrack, by the way. Now he is texting in.
Can't backtrack on a spoiler.
Oh, no. I feel like he's stuttering when he says this. Ron, I did not spoil it. I'm saying it's starting to look like she's the killer based on the latest episode. Does that help? Like, come on, man.
Well, it doesn't sound like a very good movie if the sister's a killer.
No.
Well, now I definitely know she ain't. I didn't have the sister at first on my card, so now I'll be looking for that.
You'd be looking at her sideways. Maybe he tricked you. Maybe Ocho's a step ahead, man. Maybe he tricked you.
Ocho, you know who that damn killer is, don't you? Now you're trying to backtrack it.
I thought you said it doesn't come out till 11 tonight.
Yeah, it's something, man. He knows. I don't know, man. He talking too comfy. By the way, that's the part that got me. All right, let's head to NRG as the OC. Nick Caley coming off a big week for him. Here he is talking to the media.
The way Davis performed, particularly in the fourth quarter, orchestrating their offense, what are some things that jumped out to you?
I thought just poise, consistency, never too high, never too low, great command, just really steady. I mean, it's exactly what he's been ever, you know, since my exposure around him, and I'm sure well before me here.
When you guys were heading into the fourth quarter with that deficit, did you say anything to the team differently, or like what? Because that was obviously a very different fourth quarter than we've seen all season. What happened going into the
quarter? Sure. Well, I think, no, just one play at a time. Same thing. We were, you know, got a good rhythm executing, moving the ball. You know, you could see it. The guys were playing within themselves and going out and executing, and it was clean football. And I think it just continued to build as we went through the fourth quarter.
What went into Woody taking the bulk of snaps on Sunday, and is this still kind of a game plan rotation, or is he kind of taking that lead back role?
I think it goes with, you know, everything. You know, you go into a game and you sit there and you try to have balance in a variety of ways for all the right reasons, and sometimes, you know, you get into a rhythm, and he played well, and he was playing well down the stretch. I think they both compliment him, and Nick both compliment each other, so he did well. You know, it's hard to say how every game's going to go. Sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it to, but he did a great job, and, you know, I thought played consistent throughout the game, and happy with his performance for sure.
Seem from him to be able to handle like a 60 snap workload?
Yeah, I mean, just consistency. I mean, he's gotten better every single week, not just as a runner. I mean, obviously he can catch the ball, but blitz pickup, you know, he'll put his face on guys and be physical, and that's a big part of what we ask those guys to do. So it's just a complete package and just continuing to get better and learning from things as we go, and there's plenty to learn from too as we get going.
What is the decision? Talked a lot about the offensive line. Can you talk about what got from the line last week, especially a guy like Trent Brown who hadn't played all season?
Yeah, I think grit, toughness, strain, finish, those guys played hard. It's not ever perfect, but they played their tails off, you know, from start to finish, and didn't go the way that we wanted to collectively to start. But they settled in, and they, you know, there was great communication on the sideline, on the bench, through adjustments and stuff like that, and I just thought they were really, really focused.
What would
any of those new starters along the offensive line, and what did you make of specifically Jarrett as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, what goes into it is just what can we do to give ourselves what we feel throughout the course of the week or a cumulative body of work to give ourselves the best chance to go out there and compete. And so whoever's out there, that's what we felt, you know, was best for the team. I thought Jarrett played, you know, tough, played. I mean, smart. He's a competitor. He's got a lot of flex. He's played a lot of football. So really happy the way that he battled throughout the game.
Point City, so what was the evaluation on him to get the start? And what changed after just 9 snaps? We were like, nah. Like, that's not it.
Yeah, I think just every single week, every, you know, again, it's a body of work. So, you know, City had put out really good, you know, I would say consistent performances day after day of practice, and given an opportunity to go out there and compete, nothing more, nothing less. We're going to always have an opportunity to compete. I don't think anything's fixed, you know, and that's what practice is for. So,
I think when it comes to Sunday, and if CJ, obviously, if he remains in the protocol, you'll start Davis again. If you do that, having had 2 weeks with Davis, how much do you think you can maybe even do even more with him in offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said this last week. You know, he has great command and great awareness and ownership of the offense. He has, since we've been here, been very pleased with him. He's a pro, and he'll always be prepared. He always is prepared, and, you know, got a lot of faith in him.
How much of the offensive production from Nico Collins was just, I mean, was due to the familiarity between him and Davis?
I don't know anything. For me to guess that would be me just making stuff up. I'm not going to do that. I mean, I think Miko's a big part of our offense. Davis obviously has played a long time with him. We have a system here, obviously, with Davis and CJ and those guys. So I think just, you know, being able to have that chemistry just in general, I don't think it ever hurts. Certainly, they've played a lot of football together. So, you know, Nico's a competitor, made some big-time plays for us, and you know, have a lot of respect for him.
How would you evaluate Davis, the pre-snap and all that type of stuff, the freedom to change plays at the line of scrimmage? Is that something that took place on Sunday?
Sure. Yeah, no, he's got great command, total command. And again, just like, you know, I just had mentioned, and he's into it. I mean, he's very smart, very hardworking. He prepares, he works at it. He's here early, stays late, watches a lot of tape. So, you know, first class in every way, and really cares about the position. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing holding him back at all from that standpoint.
What kind of decision did you make fourth quarter comeback, looking at the scoreboard? You stick with the running game enough, and a couple of your linemen talked to us about what an effect that had on Jacksonville. Did you make that conscious decision to stick to it enough, and what effect did you see that have?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we want to be able to run the football, and I think that throughout the course of the game, we felt good about getting efficient runs off. You know, we were running. I know the volume at the end of the day, whatever ended up being in the low 20s or whatnot, it wasn't super, super high, but we were running the ball efficiently and effectively, and I think that's important to be able to settle it down and be able to stick runs in there and do those things, and I have a lot of faith and confidence in those guys, and they did a really good job, and they competed, and, you know, again, there was a lot of, obviously, more opportunities in the pass protection up front, but we did a really good job. I felt like, you know, being able to stay connected and move the, you know, move the line of scrimmage for those guys in the backs did a really good job of you know, utilizing those blocks.
Your perspective, how were you able emotionally, because, you know, the flows of the game, it's easy to kind of fall into the trap of how the flow of the game is going and kind of reacting off of that. How were you able to, like, kind of lock in and just stick to your script, even though scoreboard was what it was, which
take the same coaching points that I give our guys. Take it one play at a time and just stay grounded and focus on what's at task. Not looking ever ahead and trying to learn from anything that would have come up, any adjustments that we need to make, and then just trying to be totally present and calm so that we can operate and do the things that we want to do. That's what I'm always trying to do.
Obviously, a lot of the success you have in a game could be game to game. It could be just in that game. Is there anything you guys did specifically well on Sunday against Jacksonville that you think you can really carry over to another week?
Well, I think the second half we played cleaner. We were more efficient. We were able to move the ball forward more consistently. I think the first half was just couldn't really stay out of our own way a little bit. You know, we got into some bad long yardage situations, which always makes it tough. Never could really get into a rhythm, I would say. So I think we were able to put some positive play. Not that the third quarter, there's been not many plays in the third quarter either. But, you know, being able to just continue to get positive plays, to continue to convert on third down and possession downs, and really just be able to operate our offense. And I thought that it was a testament to our guys really going out and executing. And doing a great job of that. Nothing more, nothing less.
Eric Armstead had some success, especially inside against you guys. You're going to play Simmons and Sweat, who's back this time.
Yeah.
What are some things that you kind of got to take from this game to clean up with the interior line?
Yeah, I think we just got to play really, really good fundamental football. I mean, they're really, really – I mean, you know, you talk about Simmons. I mean, they play really hard up front. You know, they get off the ball. They press the pocket. They knock guys back. So, again, it's fundamentals, it's toughness, and it's consistency in doing all that. You know, that's the truest measure of performance is just doing it down after down in a consistent manner.
We've asked you a lot about Tay, how he's progressing.
Yeah.
He's faced some of the obviously best guys off the edge, especially last week with Hines Allen. Can you just talk about where he is now and what you've seen, especially against some of those tough guys?
Yeah, I think he's in a good place. I really do. I think he's continued to show toughness. He cares. He wants to get better. He works at it. Same thing that has been the case since we got him here right after the draft, just obviously with more reps and more. Now he's got some more games under his belt. But I think he's playing good football. I mean, he's playing tough. He's playing disciplined football in terms of alignment and leverage and those type of things. Hand usage is getting better. So just got to continue on that track. He's conscientious to that, and I think that you know Cole and Zach do a really good job with those guys, and he'll continue to hopefully stay right on that trajectory. But I'm pleased with him. I mean, I really am.
Was there anything sorry I missed the first part, but was there anything positive that you saw from right guard or one of the guard positions that you were hoping to see, given that you all were having a rotation there?
Yeah, I think they settled in. I think as the game went on, we got settled in. And I think that there was a lot of good. What I really appreciated was down the stretch, we were able to really settle down, communicate, be more efficient, take care of, you know, being tighter with our run game fundamentals, be cleaner in pass protection. And I think just collectively, the interior part did a great job. But I think that extended to everybody, too. You know, you had Trent out there for the first time at right tackle, too. So there were some new faces. But again, this was 2 weeks ago or whatever it was when I was asked a question by somebody in here. Like, we do change things up at times like every other place I've been, just in terms of being able to have some flex with those lines so that you're never in a position where – hopefully not in the position where you're the first time a guy's ever playing together is out on a Sunday. You're trying to build those reps throughout the week. So I thought they did a really good job. I thought collectively we got better and cleaner as the game went along. That was the best thing we could have done. And those guys up front really helped us help make it feel that way even more, I think, when you can settle down the line of scrimmage.
What can you say about your unit having a tough year, having a real tough game to start, fighting through that, persevering to have some success, and they contribute to the win?
Yeah, I'm proud of them. I really am. I think that that is a tough group that cares a lot about doing the right thing. And I would say collectively, we haven't been consistent enough over the course of the season. And, you know, we're striving to do that and we're working hard to do that. And I thought you saw a lot of grit, you saw a lot of tough. And when those guys get you going up front, I think it's a catalyst for a lot of other things. And I was really proud of the way that they competed. And, you know, they do that every single day. I mean, I don't have to worry about those guys coming to work ready to do it. It's just, we got to continue as a group to just do it a little bit better, cleaner, and be more efficient with those things.
You're about nine games. How do you feel like your viewpoint, viewpoint on the sidelines, how much has your vision on how you're watching the plays, how much has that improved from week one all the way to now, just in terms of like positioning, because obviously you can't see everything. So how do you feel like your position of how you're seeing the game live in action?
Sure.
Being able to kind of go through your play sheet based off what you're seeing along with the help, how do you feel like that's improved?
Yeah, no, I feel good. I mean, I feel like anything else, it's, you know, the more reps you get into it, like anything else, the better off it is. And but I feel good. I feel good about being able to see it. I feel good about the communication that we have within a staff. That's what the staff's for, too. I mean, we have good dialogue, good communication. We solve problems together, and that's what a staff does. So got a really good staff, good people. We've got coaches and players that are connected that communicate well on the sideline and get good feedback, and we solve problems. You know, look at the pictures, see what we had on the live takes, and be able to see how we want to move forward, you know, from series to series. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get some unscouted looks. Sometimes it's more similar to what you thought you were going to get, and you go from there. But I feel good about the communication. I feel good about the approach and the vantage point, definitely.
Follow up on that quickly. How difficult, you know, just from the, I guess, the fan perspective, the media perspective, how difficult can that be to, like, try to see what's going on as fast as it's happening and then try to call plays in the midst of a series off of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you do is you try, again, you try to take it one play at a time, you prepare for situations, you build that through the week, and you have your contingency plans, and you have your solves for certain things, whether it's front structures, whether it's coverage structures, you know, that you don't anticipate, that you know how to solve for different things, and I think you attack it as you see it. I don't think you chase ghosts. I think you go out with a good plan that you put forth with the staff and the players throughout the week. You set forth the game plan, you see it live, you try to go back and you look after each series to try to look at, you know, everything that's happening, how can we improve this? Are there any issues? How do we solve those things? And you talk through it, and you have dialogue, and then you communicate with the players, and we try to clean it up and go from there. And I think it's a continuous process throughout the course of a game from start to finish. And, you know, I feel like we have good communication and a good approach from that standpoint.
With the way that Davis was able to end that last offensive possession mm-hmm. line, making the decision to take the ball out and scramble, get out of the pocket, it's something that CJ has done as well, being able to use his legs yep. more. When you were watching film on them before you came in and start putting together the playbook, was that something that you've seen that you could use from both of them to be advantageous for you all?
Yeah, I think both of those guys, to answer your question, like, first of all, on defense, they're a very good defense. Do a lot of zone coverage. They'll get a lot of depth. But I think, you know, when we're calling a pass play, obviously, the intent is to read them out and to have a reason for why we're obviously trying to throw the football. I think those two both have a really good ability to utilize their legs, and they've shown that. So I think it was a really good move on you know, a good call, instinctive play by Davis, obviously, to go out there and do that. You know, trying to game plan a bunch of run opportunities when we have, you know, players out in the patterns and stuff like that.
All right, a lot there, addressed a lot. I'm sure throughout the show we will check back in on some of the things that the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, had to say as they look to continue what they were able to do, especially in that second half and fourth quarter moving forward. All right, coming up, it is Wednesday, so that means we do a little stock up, stock down. You can text yours in 713-572-4610. Stock up, stock down. We'll do that.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief.
Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Coming up.
Tootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
And tell them to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
Big voice man is correct. It's time for some stocks on the drive with Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. I am producer Tyler Milner. T-Mill, you know I'm going to the game, as Ron laid out earlier. I'm going to this Week 11 Texans-Titans matchup in Nashville. There is no curse. I'm sure we'll talk more about that later. But I want to start this thing off, these stocks today, with you, Ron the Show. As the Texans enter Week 11, very much also with C.J. Stroud's status up in the air. Quarterback looking like it might be Mills. Stock up for you, Ron the Show Hughley, as the Texans head to Nashville.
Stock up for me. This is a gentleman who has made multiple stock downs during this year for me. And I think he played his best game as a Texan, best game as a pro. And I want to give him credit and stock up. And I think that goes to Jaden Higgins. Jaden Higgins played his best game. There was a lot of heroes, a lot of guys who made plays, from Davis Mills to Danielle Hunter to Will Anderson to Sheldon Rankins to Nico Collins, everybody. But Jaden Higgins, it was like really like one of the first times you got to see, oh, he's got really good size. They took advantage of that size. Davis Mills looked like he was throwing the ball up high for him to go get multiple times. He got in the end zone again. Got a nice touchdown covered, but they went up high, and he went up and pulled it down. I thought he played the best we've seen him play this year, and hopefully this is a thing that jumpstarts him, and he continues to get action. And I think, to the point you said, they opened it, they opened things up more, probably due to the score, which I think helped him get out on the field more and get opportunities. So. Shout out to Jaden Higgins. He has had, for me, slower process for him as a rookie than I expected. But he stepped up, and hopefully this is actually a springboard to him playing better.
I like that one. He's a guy that I think's got to kind of find his own way in the league. But I think those around him have to figure out, like, what exactly is it that he does well. You know what I mean? Like he's a, you know, when I see him, body, the build, the like, I think he's going to be more of like a Mike Irvin type stylistically. You know what I mean? He's not necessarily going to be a burner that's going to run by everybody and take the top off of coverages. I think he's going to be more of a big-bodied receiver that's going to know how to keep his body in between the DB and the quarterback, the DB and the ball kind of deal, use his body, catch the ball underneath, and like we saw him catch a stack route. I think we saw him catch a hitch route too. Soft corner, just get him the ball and let him lay down for three extra yards at the end of it. So yeah, I think it's going to take a little time for him and them, really talking about the Texans, to figure out how do you want to use him and what's the best way to deploy him. But Sunday was definitely one of them days where it looked pretty damn good.
He would go and get the ball when he was at Iowa State. Yeah. Like, he would go up, they'd throw the ball up, use his body and his size to go up and get the ball. We haven't seen that as much, but that touchdown was Davis Mills put the ball up, yeah, and let him go get it.
Well, it's just such – I mean, the catch radius, man, is with him and Nico. But he probably is going to end up having a bigger catch radius. Again, we've talked about Nico. I mean, he just appears to be a guy that can climb the ladder and go get it, right? I mean, yeah. So that just get it in the vicinity And you got a real good chance of him making a play. The more confident he gets, the better off he's going to be.
So the Texans rookie pass catcher, Jaden Higgins, that is around the show, Hughley, stock up. Clint, over to you. Stock up for the Houston Texans in your eyes as they head to Nashville to take on the Titans.
I think it's Jarrett Patterson, man. I think, you know, the way he stepped in at a position, clearly they don't have any confidence in Juice Scruggs and Lakin Tomlinson, the way they handled the guard situation this past week. And so for Jarrett Patterson to get that opportunity and play well, and play really well, and I think he's earned a spot. I think he's a guy that right now him and Ingram should be your guards. I think he played well enough. I like the communication piece with the center, and you know, center is typically what he plays. I like the fact that he can help there and is used to it. Probably knows the offense like the back of his hand, having to be the one that communicates it. And I think his stock right now, because typically he'd be a center you'd want to get in there if need be. But the fact that he's found a way to work his way up from really a three deep on the depth chart at the guard position and probably going to be a starter this week, I think his stock is through the roof right now. Jarrett Patterson.
Should be. I do wonder, you would think he's going to start, right? You would think that's the route they're going to go with those guys returning, him and Ed Ingram being the guards. With Ed returning to practice, you would think that would be the case. So yes, his stock is way through the roof. On as D'Amico said, hey man, we're trying to see what the best group we have up there. You would assume he's done enough to keep himself in there.
Yeah,
you are tuned in to H-Town's number one afternoon drive sports talk program. That'd be The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. We do this every Wednesday around this time. It's stock up, stock down, and we got week 11 Texans versus Titans. Back to you, Ron, the show. What is the stock down in your eyes for the Texans right now, sir?
My stock down is kind of connected to your stock up, Clint, and like I don't know why Lakin Tomlinson is even really still on the team right now, to be honest with you. If Patterson jumps you,
oh, City
62 jumps you, and I
62 before, City.
Before we can get to 62, Juice Scruggs jumps you, right? You were rotating with Juice. Then two guards go out. Yo ass ain't one of them. One of the guards comes in. He is doo doo, just doo doo, and they got to sit him. And they still don't call yo ass. Like I mean, it, right now I'm led to believe Juice, Patterson, and 62, and maybe somebody else is ahead of you right now before you get in the game, and Ed before you.
There's
get
four
in the game.
Guards ahead of him on the
right now.
You got to play. There's four of them ahead. You three deep on that.
Like
depth
I mean, like for me it is. Like I know injuries could occur, but for me I'm like, what's he doing there?
Yeah.
Like you don't trust him, believe or like what he's bringing to the table. So his stock is not only down, you know, on this team. I mean, we'll see if he's still with this team the rest of the way.
And as these Texans head up to Nashville to take on the fake-ass Oilers that like to pretend Houston's history is their own, Clint Sterner, over to you. Stock down for you in this matchup in Week 11 for the Texans Titans.
Well, I think it's Christian Kirk, man. They paid him a boatload of money to come here to play second fiddle to Nico Collins. And in a game where he's healthy – and it seems like everybody's making not just plays, but making like game changing type plays. I mean, he has settled in that spot of a guy that's catching a couple of underneath snag routes and doing absolutely nothing with it. I mean, he is an absolute non-factor in the game, in a game where, again, Higgins is catching touchdowns. Nico is doing obviously big time Nico things. Jalen Knoll is catching a big corner over a corner route, whatever it was.
They threw a pick when they tried to get it to him.
Yeah, man, and Dalton Schultz is having a big game. I mean, it's everybody's getting them some, and Christian Kirk is sitting over in a corner watching the party. It is hard to think that this Christian Kirk is ever going to be worth the money they spent on him or live up to those kind of expectations.
No, I thought that he had the potential to work. Yeah, you're in there. He's what, one catch for 3 yards in this ball game.
Yeah,
on three targets. One of those targets ended up being a pick. 1 for 3. Damn, man, you ain't even Applebee's.
I mean, but Ron, this is a game where everybody's getting something.
Applebee's has racks.
I mean, they're throwing hitches, stacks, snags. Everybody's getting a little bit of something underneath the cover. Just underneath. Everybody's soft. Let's just throw it underneath. And he's still not the guy.
1 for 3.
I'm out a whole rat macabre salad.
I mean, they're not doing that.
If you own that stock, you may be losing a little money.
Man.
I mean, you can hold it and see if he catches fire late,
man. Man, 1 for 3. All right, That has not worked, Nick.
Bear market, huh?
Like, I ain't going to lie to you. I was just going to run with Nick Casario the rest of the way on my stock down, like, the rest of the year.
You thought better of it?
Quite frankly, it's bullshit.
Well, damn.
Lakin Kirk. Had to get a mention.
Lakin, Kirk, all of this is connected to him. All of it.
Yeah, just put slash. Put your player slash Casario.
I mean, think about, all right, our big offensive moves in the offseason. Christian Kirk. Cam Robinson. Coming up next, a player who is returning. Somebody that we're excited about that Nick Casario drafted. A player that's returning. How big is it? And what is the next move from this Texas hero? We'll discuss that coming up.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Rock and roll! Touchdown, Texan!
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
If you missed it, we heard from the OC earlier in the show. Nick Caley spoke about the offense, a lot of things. I'm sure we'll hear from that coming up a little bit later on in the show as well. But if you missed him, he was on at 3 o'clock. Go on the podcast page or Odyssey app and check out the offensive coordinator. All right, Clint, there are a lot of – we'll see injury report-wise will be interesting. We know if you missed it, C.J. Stroud – Jalen Petrie, they are not practicing with the concussions. Tytus Howard is back, however, back on the practice field today with his concussion, still having symptoms, has been reported about C.J. Stroud. And Fairbairn also out. But a guy who is returning, who we have not seen for a while, Clint, is Cade Stover. And he is somebody that a lot of people, including you, had a lot of excitement about coming into the year. Somebody that You thought, oh, this guy could be a player. He could take the next step in year two. It looks like he will be back, and he is going to be reinstated. We should see him on the field coming up on Sunday against the Titans. You think this is a big deal? What's going through your thoughts here with Cade Stover returning to the lineup?
Well, I think there's several ways to look at this, Ron. I think he's better than your number two tight end right now. And if you don't want to say the number two tight end, Harrison Bryant, just say the more of a traditional tight end, hand in the dirt, can help you with his hand in the dirt attached to the tackle. And that frees up Schultz to be able to do some more of the pass catching stuff that he's more comfortable doing. So I think he's better than Harrison Bryant. I think he complements Dalton Schultz really well. There's a really good chance that Cade Stover is the future at the tight end position in Houston. And again, I think a more traditional type of tight end that is good in the pass game as well as good in the run game, enjoys the physicality of blocking in the run game. So I think he could potentially be the future here in Houston. But I'll add one more bullet here is I think that they've gotten to a point where they really like the sixth offensive lineman, which is kind of the trend in the NFL right now with Blake Fisher. Now, all of a sudden, if you put Blake Fisher in there with Cade Stover, assuming Cade is 100% healthy, now you've changed that surface in the run game right there to be able to run behind those guys. You know, think about that. If you've got Ursary, Stover, and Fisher in there as that heavy package, that heavy Fisher package, you can do some things. So I would say it adds a weapon to the personnel in the personnel department for Nick Caley. I just think him coming back is a big, big boost for the Texans offense.
Yeah.
I don't know if right away, because I think it's going to probably take him some time to fit him in and work him in.
I expect him to get a lot of decent run.
I think he'll get a lot of run, but it's going to take some time for, I think, him to kind of build some confidence and chemistry, and the quarterback to build some confidence and chemistry to rely on him. But you remember, I mean, the thing is like, we know that he's going to be a good, tight end, run blocking tight end. The physicality is not going to be a problem. So it was more about his route running, and D'Amico Ryan spoke multiple times in the preseason and training camp about the route running and really precise about the top of his route. He's getting a lot better, and coming out of his breaks, he's getting a lot better. And so that part of it, I know he's taking a hit, obviously, with the injury, so he's not going to pick up right where he left off. But, the potential for him is through the roof, and I don't know when he's going to help the team, but at some point in time, having him healthy is going to be a big part of what the Texans do offensively.
And it sounds like a big point. You're talking about helping the team in the passing game. Like that.
Well, that's where I'm going. If all of a sudden you can throw two tight ends out there, that whether it's within a route or it's with speed, you got two tight ends out there that are natural catchers of the football that can separate, that are reliable targets, that can really hurt defenses either consistently underneath, being checkdowns, or, guys that can stretch the field a little bit. I mean, that's a game changer, man. And in this particular offense, Nick Caley's history, Nick Caserio's history, Cole Popovich's history in New England, I know we don't talk real glowingly about that, but if you look at what they did, their best football was played when you had two tight ends that complemented each other really well, and one in Gronk field that never came off the field. And so – yeah, by the way, compliment each other. Yeah, good
compliment
point.
Each other on the field. Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Gronk was not a compliment to Aaron Hernandez.
In the club?
Off the field.
and thank the Lord. But, yeah, I just think this is a big deal. If they get him back and they can get him in the fold and he can get comfortable and pick up where he left off in training camp, big moving forward for the Texans.
Yeah, so that is a help back. There'll be some kind of up in the air thoughts of guys that they play with, especially with Fairbairn, Stroud, and Petrie. But they've been wanting and waiting to get Cade Stover back, and that'll be big for this offense. By the way, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus, streaming November 16th on Paramount. It's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back. And by the way, many people were confused. I was not confused on which movie it was Billy Bob Thornton gave to Halle Berry. I was kind of up and down on which movie he won the Academy Award for. And it was Sling Blade. Sorry about that. Featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott, one of the best voices in the game. Landman, new season streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus. And please don't give that away, Ocho. All right, as we continue, Clint, I did want to get to a Texan legend and one of the greatest Texas A&M Aggies we've ever seen.
You can shut your damn mouth right now, sir. He doesn't get to claim the maroon and white. No, no, sir, not that way, hey, little bitch.
Did he go to the school? Did he play?
Briefly.
All right.
Until he had to cry and get his daddy involved.
You tell me if everything I'm saying is accurate. Did he go to the school?
He did.
Did briefly. He play?
He didn't get a degree.
Did he play for A&M?
Yes.
Did he win a Heisman Trophy in college?
Not for A&M.
Did he win a Heisman Trophy in college?
Yes.
All right. One of the greatest
son of a bitch
Aggies to ever do it right there.
Stop.
Kyler Murray. Clint, it seems like he is done in Arizona. They've put him. I don't feel like I want to speak out of turn, but I feel like they've put him on a healthy scratch on the IR with his foot. And they've decided to go with Jacoby Brissett. It looks like he's done. A lot of people try to figure out where he may move on, his next move. How do you feel? The talent's there, obviously a former number one pick. How do you feel about him? We've talked about this with a lot of guys. Do you get the sense that Kyler Murray can be a guy that has a second run like we're watching with Sam Darnold, who's in the MVP race right now, Baker Mayfield, who was and may still be in the MVP race, and then Daniel Jones, who spun. Do you get the sense that you feel like Kyler Murray, his next stop, could revitalize things and pull off what they've done?
I don't.
You don't?
No,
you don't.
But I mean, it's less. It's obviously less about talent and more about
him, right?
You know, you got to be wired in a certain way to be willing to navigate what Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and what those guys navigated. I mean, don't forget they went through some very similar things that Kyler's gone through now. But they also then went and took a back seat for a year, 2 years in bad organizations behind quarterbacks.
You could argue they had less success than Kyler did in their first runs, right? Like I got to talk about Sam with the Jets.
Definitely Sam. I mean, Baker had a pretty good run, didn't he? Didn't Baker
have he probably had a similar run to him, a playoff little run.
Yeah, but you got to be wired in a different way to navigate that comeback story, if you will. And it's usually a year or two in some messed up situations with, you know, lame duck coaches. And I don't know, man. It just doesn't strike me that he's one of those guys that is going to fight through that for something. I mean, I don't know how the contract works. I know Arizona has an out after the 2026 season. So after next year, I think they have an out. I think if it's
people are talking about trade, potentially trade.
Yeah, but I mean, who's going to trade for a $46 million a year quarterback? I mean, who's going to for this guy?
If Arizona's going to have to take some. You know, I have to help.
Yeah, you have to eat a bunch of it. Or do they? I mean, hell, I mean, if I'm him, I get what I can out of it. I go play Major League Baseball.
You're gonna go play baseball.
That's where I'm at. If I'm Kyler, man, that's where I'm at.
No, there's some stuff. People talking about the Jets, the Steelers, Browns.
Look, I think there's plenty of stops. I don't think the Steelers are one of them, but I think there are plenty of stops.
Saints and Dolphins were other.
Yeah, you're naming all of them. They're all right there. Those are the kind of scenarios that I just don't think Kyler Murray is going to go to and spend two years being the pillar and kind of the guy that brings the organization out of dysfunction. If you just want to exist in dysfunction for a little while, I guess.
Yeah, but I think the model that you brought up is. Like, I don't like any of these for him. I think he needs to go somewhere and stop and just do what they did, right?
Be a backup somewhere?
But yeah, just chill. I think the Rams is the perfect spot to be.
That is a good one.
Like the Rams, to me, is the perfect spot. I think Sean is a guy he can – I don't know if the Cardinals would ever go in division. Who knows? Yeah. But if he tries to find his way out.
You're just talking about Fitz.
He's trying to find his – I think something like that, because Stafford obviously at 37, 38, he's still playing his ass off, but you don't know how – like you can see that coming to a close soon.
Yeah,
And Sean McVay – like I think that's the type of scenario he needs to go to. Because, I mean, all of those guys – I don't know how much Baker set. He set a little bit, but Sam definitely went – to San Francisco and set and chill. Well,
Baker went to Carolina and ended up sitting there. And then he played.
Because him and Sam were there together, and he won the job.
They backed up at first. He ended up sitting there and getting cut there.
Yeah, he got cut. He got benched. Mm. Yeah, and then Sam got the gig. But no, I do feel like Saints, Browns, Jets, the Dolphins. I don't know, man. That feels like a space of him just going kind of into where he is right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. I don't know. It takes a special kind of dude that's going to swallow his pride and just basically you just got to eat whatever that horse crap, you know, offensive staff throws at you, losing organization throws at you. You just got to be willing to eat it and hopefully it works out for you. I just don't know. We're damn near 300 in the bank.
If he has
I just don't know if he got that any, man. Yeah. But
he's got to channel his time at A&M and really pull through and how he's able to recover.
If he channeled that time, he'd be running away from it.
As one of the great, great Aggies. What you got coming up here at 4?
Well, we've got an injury report, and it's a really good injury report for the Texans, for a couple of Texans. But what it does is it puts the organization in a position to where they got to make some decisions, some potentially very tough decisions on the offensive line. We'll talk about that next.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.